Yes, Derek Davis here, manning the lifeline. And don't forget, if you're calling from Britain or the North, our low-cost line is 0800 614 616. Damien Moran, hello.
Hello, Derek. Thank you for inviting me on the show.
Not at all. Damien, out of curiosity, did you expect to be acquitted?
Well, we always hope for the best, but one has to prepare for the worst.
No. So. Straight answer now. Did you really expect that a jury of 12 would give a unanimous decision to find you innocent in the...
You sound like a state prosecutor, yes or no.
You have more experience of that than I have.
We always have hope for a yes. But one, as I said, I was a Boy Scout many, many years ago, and I followed the motto of be others, be prepared. So we did have our bags packed at the advice of our counsel, because it was possible we were going to be remanded in custody. Of course, the maximum sentence we could have received if we were convicted was 10 years. That was the maximum sentence. So, but
did you actually wield the axe?
Pardon?
Was it you who wielded the axe or the hammer or whatever? The damage
to them? I had a hammer personally, and our intention was to damage this plane, and we believed that we had a lawful excuse to do it because the jury clearly accepted it. I mean, it's very important to point out, Derek, that within the Eriotis Criminal Damage Act of 1991, one can have a lawful excuse to do criminal damage if they can prove that they were trying to save life and property, and if that was a reasonable act which they carried out, and if they honestly believed that they were going to save life and property. And as you said, 12 ordinary, randomly selected people from the Dublin Electoral Register.
Do I recall at the time of this?
It was a unanimous decision.
You were studying for the priesthood at the time, is that right?
Indeed I was, yeah. It's a long, long time ago now.
What age were you then?
I was 22, actually, and the time we carried out this act was February 3rd, 2003. So I had been with the Holy Ghost Fathers for about 18 months at that stage. And just to give you a little bit of background, I'm from County Offaly, Banagher, County Offaly, and I had volunteered in Haiti, extremely poor country in the Caribbean, with a Catholic nun friend of mine. And also I had played hurling with Offaly over in New York, Gaelic football and hurling.
Yeah, you got about a bit. Yeah, but can I inquire, was it as a result of the prosecution that your priestly studies came to an end?
No, it wasn't. I did do 5.5 weeks in Limerick jail after this particular act. Even though I had been granted bail, I stayed in solidarity with two of the defendants, two of the people, my friends, who were refused bail. And I came out and I continued my study, but I decided in August 2003 that it was best for me to concentrate on this particular work, and also I wanted really to work full time with homeless people, with alcoholics and drug addicts, and that's what I did up until December last year for about 2.5 years.
What are you actually doing now for a living?
Okay, well, for the first 18 months we couldn't leave the country. We had to sign on every day, so it was very, very difficult to leave Dublin, so I had to work in Dublin, but I had the privilege of working with the great people on Angier Street with the DePaul Trust.
Oh, yes.
In a wet shelter, a homeless shelter there.
And, so-called, people should know, because drugs and drink are not prohibited in that shelter. Is that right?
Drink is allowed.
Yes.
Drugs are not allowed.
All right. Okay.
So it's basically for those who have been rejected by the rest of the shelters around town. And they certainly have a great community going there, a great kind of community spirit, and they taught us a lot of things about a sense of justice for those who are kind of victims on the streets as well. So that was a very beautiful experience. The last 6 months after, we had two trials already, Derek, in March and October of last year. Both of them collapsed because of the trial was tainted with bias.
Well, no, hang on a second.
Well,
absolutely, but let's not go there. Your most recent trial was conducted absolutely meticulously.
Oh, indeed it was. Judge Miriam Reynolds
and
had great integrity, and it was very...
You have nothing, as you wander the streets free man now, you have nothing to complain about.
Oh,
but what do you think about... We've had phone calls...
3.5 years on bail, remember?
Yes, but we've had phone calls from people, there was one on the programme just a few minutes ago, to say, look, this wasn't anti-war, this was simply anti-American.
Yeah, I've got a cousin who was in the US Marines, and I'm by no means against him. I would rather he stay home with his wife. I mean, thankfully he has left the US Marines now. My nephew living in the United States. He's from the United States, so I'm certainly not anti him. We're against this U.S. government's policy to wage slaughter in Iraq and Afghanistan, which they've been doing since September 11th, and they experienced a terrible tragedy in the United States.
But see, a lot of people say
retribution has been their answer.
A lot of people say, where were you when Russia invaded Afghanistan? When
actually, I wasn't born.
Well, that would account for it.
I was only born in 1980.
And you weren't a particularly rebellious ovum.
Exactly. Well,
but I mean, there are a number of, in broader terms, I forget that you're a young man, this is the disadvantage of getting old, but in broader terms, there are other conflicts around the world.
For sure, there are, and I mean, you know, the most...
The most appalling one is in the Congo.
You're right.
Because there's 4 million people dead.
That's correct.
Four million people dead.
I know, Derek. I lived with two Congolese people in the seminary, and you know, the stories that they told me about were really, really atrocious. I also lived with an Iraqi monk in the seminary, and I had a very good friend from Iraq, Dr. Zahir Al-Ahali, who worked in St. James's Hospital. And I think the main thing for me to reflect on at that time when I was in the seminary is, how is Ireland complicit, and how am I as an Irish person going to respond to that, as a Christian respond to that? And the reality is that, well, from what I know, I hope, anyway, that Ireland are not supporting the Congolese war. It's been quite, you know...
No, but they've been very mute. Very mute.
Well, that's true.
Stay with me till I bring in another caller.
Okay, Derek, yep.
Stay with me. Mike, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Derek.
Shannon 5 should receive the freedom of the city of Dublin, according to its proposer?
Well, I think that this is not only a daft proposition, it's also a dangerous one. We on this island have had, for years, the conflicts of violence and destruction of property. And so what we're going to do now then is make heroes out of those who are propagating their own version of you know, retribution by giving them some kind of award. And I think that, you know, the whole concept of making heroes out of somebody who are vandalizing and destroying property is crazy at the time in which we live in. But I just want to say this. I take exception to Damien's putting Christian next to this. I've been a minister of the gospel for 20 years. I'm down in Leash now, and I'm in Ireland for 13 years, and there's absolutely nothing Christian about what he's doing. I mean, if he calls us Christian, then that means he's a follower of Christ. I mean, Christ said, love your enemies. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit.
But didn't he flog the moneylenders out of the temple? I mean, that was a violent act.
Well, that was his, as God, that was his decision to make judgment upon those people. But it's not our decision. It's not up for us to now become judge and jury over people that we don't agree with. I mean, Jesus lived during one of the most tyrannical dictatorships of his time, and there's not a bit of teaching in there about people rearing up against unjust governments and trying to destroy their property. It is completely wrong to I don't care how many years, couple years, he studied in some type of seminary. This is against the spirit of Christ and against the spirit of...
Well, Mike, can I ask you, do you support American foreign policy in the Middle East?
Some parts I do, some parts I don't.
Well, the war in Iraq, to narrow it.
I would have supported the initial invasion of Iraq. I don't think they've carried it out properly. So, again, it's not a clear-cut yes. I would have supported the reasons they went in. I think the people who are against the war in Iraq have never offered any other solutions for what about the oppressed who are the oppressed under Saddam Hussein's regime? No one ever spoke a word about them.
Mike, I have American friends, and I go over there about once a year, and one of my friends is a chef. His father was a U.S. Army officer. He described himself as an Army brat. And when this thing started, he was wholeheartedly in favor. Again, the Americans, as you know, are very pro-military. But now that casualties for the National Guard units are running at nearly 50%, local support has collapsed.
Well, let me say this, Derek. As an American, but like I said, I've been in Ireland the last 13 years. This is the nature of the present-day American, is that they're fine, you know, when all the hoopla is going on, but the endurance to keep to a commitment and to do it properly, you know, that's where there's a problem. And so that's what you're experiencing over there. And so I think that's what's happening now, is I think that it's been the mess of the war.
But you see, it's not just... Apparently the Marines aren't losing that many because, A, they have a different type of training and different deployment. But these National Guard units, and we're talking about Joe from the gas station...
Exactly.
And Barry, the insurance salesman, and so on. These are people from... you know, local American communities, and about 46 or 47% of them are being killed or wounded.
Yes, and listen, and we, you know, this is a bad situation that I think, again, they've made a mess out of, but I don't think that that's a reason for people then to, like, you know, this The Shannon Five's reasons for what they did, it's along the same lines as the reason that the Islamic terrorists, you know, flew into the World Trade Center. They have their, quote, religious reasons for destroying and killing. And if we can justify that we have a good reason for this, well, that makes it a good reason. And there's no difference in these types of things. It's just the scale that's different.
Okay, Damien, there's really no difference between yourself and an Islamic extremist.
Well, who did we kill? That's my question. We never damaged anybody, never injured anybody. What we did damage was U.S. military property, which is inappropriate and improper for human life. As we now, as you know, the 3.5 years of carnage that has occurred in the Middle East has proven to us. And I'd just like to ask our pastor friend, does he believe in the same God as George W. Bush does when he was told by God to invade Iraq?
How can I answer that question when I don't live inside of George W. Bush's heart and soul? People's words and what goes on inside of them. And that's the point, Damien. We're not to judge the other person's heart. And so how could I make that statement? How do I know? My question is this. How do you square your actions as a Christian with Romans 13?
Okay, I can tell you, I can quote you from, let's go back to the Old Testament.
No, just answer my question. My question.
I'm going to answer the question on Christian terms of reference.
Okay,
and that's Isaiah 2:4 and Micah 4:2, one is mandated to beat swords into plowshares, and it's a beautiful prophecy that humanity shall no longer study war.
Completely.
And we are also, remember, one of the most beautiful commandments that we have is thou shalt not kill. Now, that would imply that we shouldn't incinerate Iraqi children and that we should not support. How many troops have gone through Shannon Airport this year? I'll tell you, 209,000.
Can I answer your question? You didn't answer my question about Romans 13. Let me ask you about that. You misquoted a Bible verse, so I've got to put you straight. It doesn't say that we should beat our swords into plowshares. It says that someday God would end all war. That's what that passage means. You've totally taken out of its context for your own purposes. People have been doing that for centuries. Now, Romans 13, how do you square your actions as a so-called Christian with Romans 13? Are you not sure what that says?
Well, we come from the Catholic worker movement in the United States
that
engaged in nonviolent direct action and hospitality for the poor for the last 80 years.
But if you're going to call yourself Christian...
We come from the philosophy, the Sermon on the Mount.
Blessed are those who mourn.
And we believe that we're in solidarity with those who are mourning in Iraq now. And we believe we're in solidarity with all those hundreds of thousands of United States troops who are passing through Shannon. 1,100 today are passing through. They're going to have terrible atrocities committed upon them. And unfortunately, they're going to commit terrible atrocities as well. Most recently, the Haditha massacre has brought that to light. We had Jimmy Massey over for our trial. Jimmy Massey is an Iraq veteran against war. He informed us in court that his unit, between March and May of 2003, killed 35 innocent people. That's all we're attempting to prevent, and 12 of our peers in Dublin who were in the court, and I believe you weren't in the court because I didn't see you there and you never introduced yourself, but I believe that if you were in the court over the 12, 14 days, then at least we may be able to have a dialogue.
Damien, one final question. Damien, do you feel anti-American?
Absolutely not. I mean, this is not about anti-American.
Okay, let me ask the question to Mike. Do you feel that these protests are anti-American?
I say this. It is anti, what is always anti-American from people with left-wing mindset. They are anti-conservative American. So in America, there is a very divided country because it's a free country. There are the right-wing, shall we say, and left-wing, and a lot of moderates, okay, as you well know, Derek. And you see, these type of people never say anything when a left-wing president is in America. When Bill Clinton was dropping bombs in Bosnia, what was going on then? Were there any protests against that then?
All right, we have to leave that hanging as a rhetorical question because I have to take a break. Back in a moment.